next parsha. One of the most famous business deals in history is discussed. Yaakov and Esav doing a fabulous deal when Esav comes back from the woods, terribly hungry and thirsty, and he sees Yaakov cooking and preparing some wonderful meal, and he says, and Yaakov seizes the opportunity and he says, and Esav's reasoning goes, I'm going to die anyway, and he agrees to sell the pchayr. Yaakov asks Esav to swear. Esav does so, and then Yaakov gives Esav lechem benezid adoshim, and that was the clincher for mechiras habachayro. Chuvas arivashim areish chav ches, iktsoyis achoyshen asim areish ayin ches. It's a bit surprising, but the greatest lamdim, rishoinim and achroinim, dealt with the basic question, whether was this mechira valid, did it have halachic substance? A person cannot sell, nor can a person acquire. And when dealing with Bechor, as long as the father is alive, the inheritance is not really relevant, and that would be considered a Dovo Shaloi Boli Yoilam. Yaakov on the spot, as you all probably know, say that Yaakov had no intention of acquiring riches. Yitzchak didn't really have much possessions. He wasn't a rich man. And when Yaakov buys the b'chayra, his entire intention is only l'shem shemayim. Because b'yamei kedem, in those days, the b'chayrim were the ones that were makrav korbonos for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was not yet any shevet levi, or any koyhanim. And the b'chayrim were the ones that served as koyhanim, and they were makrav korbonos. And Yaakov reasoned that Esav is not ra'ui to be makrav korbanos for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why he wanted to be the b'chor and was entirely l'shem shemayim with no monetary benefit in mind. So according to Rashi, it has nothing to do with kinyan b'dovah shel bo'li yoyro. But obviously there are sources, not only in the Rishonim but even in the Gemara, that this transaction did have something to do with possession. Because in Soita Dav Yud Gimel Omed Aleph, when Esav demands to have a part, a lot in Ma'or HaSamech Peleh to be buried, and Esav argues, I'm the Bechor, so I am supposed to have a double part here in Ma'or HaSamech Peleh, and then Yaakov says, no, I bought the Bechor, and you sold out your part in the Bechor, and therefore you do not deserve to have place in the Ma'or HaSamech Peleh. So this discussion that we find in Soita Daf Yud Gimel Omed Aleph does prove that there was some money issues involved in Kinyan HaBechayra, and therefore the question is once again relevant. Eino de makna dovah shel bo'li yoilam. And the Rivash in that same Simen and Simen Reish Chof Ches brings that he saw a ksav yad of the tool, in which the tool quotes his father, his great father, the Rosh. As you all know, the tool, the Balatulim, was the son of the Rosh. And the tool brings in the name of his father that if a person adds a shvua to the kinyan, then a kinyan would be chal and dovah shelo bo'li yoilam. Afal pi she'amru chachamim eino d'makna dovah shelo bo'li yoilam. But if the seller also swears that he'll stand up to his promise and he will see this transaction through, then a kinyan would be chal and dovah shelo bo'li yoilam. The Rivash himself rejects this chiddush entirely, and he argues, what does a shivua have to do with dinei kinyonim? And just to strengthen the argumentation of the tour, nedarim v'shivuos belong in Yoredeya, mekach u'memka belong in Chishamishpat. So what kesher though does a shivua have with the din of eino d'makna dovah shel bo'li yoilam? And therefore the Rivash writes that this ksav yad that I've seen, Allah gishpanket the ma'aber of Asher Chosim Allah, and I don't think it's an authentic Ksav Yad, because this Chiddush is unacceptable, and therefore the Rizbash rejects the Chiddush. However, today we do have the Sefer Pereshatur Ala Torah, which obviously was printed from very reliable sources and manuscripts and Kisve Yad, and the Chiddush does appear in the Pereshatur Ala Torah, which beyond doubt really is the Perish of the Baal HaTurim, and he does quote in the name of his great father, Afal Pi She'eino D'Matnan D'Vashor Bo L'Yoylom, but if the seller also swears and he adds a Shvuah to the Kinyan, Odom Matnan D'Vashor Bo L'Yoylom. The Rivash himself says that this question about the Mechir Sabchoy D'Eino D'Matnan D'Vashor Bo L'Yoylom is not that valid, because maybe before Matan Torah, a Kenyan was Chal V'Dovashor V'Liyolam. U'mishenitno Torah, and many halachas were given al Har Sinai, one of them was Eino D'Matan Dovashor V'Liyolam. However, before Matan Torah, a Kenyan would be Chal V'Dovashor V'Liyolam. So what is the aside of this machloikis? Why would the Rosh maintain that a Shavuah would add credibility to a Kenyan, and on Yidei Shavuah we would maintain that a Kenyan is Chal V'Dovashor V'Liyolam, and why does the Rivash reject this opinion? In the basic halacha of Eino D'Makna Dovashor V'Liyolam, we find two different explanations, two different basic approaches to this halacha. Many Achroinim maintain, one of them is the Or Chaim, in this week's parsha, on the question of Mechira Sabchoira. But it's not only the Or Chaim, Tshuva Samabi Tzimin Lamed Zayin, the Drisha in Choshe Mishnah Tzimin Reish Tes, and many others. That the reason ain't all the Makon Dovashir Boli Olam is only because there is a lack of Gemar Das. Probably in one of the Masechtas you learned, you've come across a concept of Gemar Das. Which Masechta are we actually learning in Yeshiva now? I don't recall Gemara Das in the beginning of Gittin, but in many, many Sugis and Shas, we find that every chalois that a person does, whether it's Gittin, or it's Kiddushin, or it's Kinyonim, we need Gemara Das. And if there's a lack of Smichus Das or Gemara Das, the Kinyon is not valid. There are two different concepts which are actually the same. Sometimes you speak about Smichas Das and sometimes you speak about Gemara Das. Usually Gemara Das is Mitzad HaMakna, the one that's giving, and Smichus Das is Mitzad HaMekabel. But the concept is the same concept, because both parties need to have pure content to actually see this Kenyan true, and they have to relate to this Kenyan in a serious manner, in a serious way. When there is a lack of Gemara Das, the Kenyan is invalid. The Kenyan is not Chal. So many Achroinim maintain, and I've mentioned some of the names, some of the most important sources, that the reason they don't make the Shulabarim is because there's a lack of Gemara Das. The purchaser, on one hand, isn't confident that he's ever going to see what he's buying, because for the time being, it's a Shulabarim. He's doing some kind of a futuristic Kenyan, some kind of a futuristic purchase. The seller, on the other hand, hopes that he'll never really have to transfer what he's selling, because things might just not work out in the end. And therefore, when a person sells or buys a Dovashor V'Liyolam, there's a lack in Gemara Das and a Smichas Das, and that is the reason the Kenyan is not Chal. The purchaser thinks, when this Kenyan would become valid, so much time might pass that the seller might regret. So that is the reason Eino D'Machna D'Vashor Bo L'Yoylam. Some others maintain, just to mention a few important sources, the Levush in Semen Reish Tes and Choshe Mishpot, and the Chazon Ish in Hilchis D'Mai, they maintain that Eino D'Machna D'Vashor Bo L'Yoylam is a basic rule of the Yesoidus of Kenyonim. It is not because there's a lack of Gemara Das. Even if we would know, we would be totally convinced that there's no lack of Gemara Das. The rules of Kinyonim dictate that if a Kinyon isn't Ra'ui, Lachur, when the Kinyon is actually performed, when it's actually made, then it cannot have any validity in any future time. So many Achronim maintain that that is the reason Eino the Makna the Bishodom Yonim. And in a very basic way, I think that that is the source, that's the Shodesh of the Machloikis between the Tur and the Rosh on one hand and the Rivash on the other hand. If the entire reason Eino the Makna the Bishodom Yonim is because there's a lack of Gemara Das and Smiches Das, we could very well understand why a Shavua would strengthen a Kenyan. If there is some basic rule, the Torah Sakinyoni, that a Kenyan cannot be Chal on a Dovah Shel Bori Olam, then the Rivash's argument is very valid. How could a Shavua possibly affect Dinei HaKinyoni? Shavua Sayuradeh, Kinyon HaMachashamish, but they don't interact. But the problem with the Kinyan B'Dov Shel Bori Olam is only because there's a lack of Gemara Das, one could very well understand that if a person swears and a Shavua is involved, that definitely would cement or strengthen or solidify the Gemara Das of the Koine and the Makna. Because when the Makna swears that he's going to see this Kinyan through, there definitely is a greater degree of Smichas Das Mitzad HaKoine. And he's more confident that he actually will be getting what he bought. So, in my reasoning, the Tur and the Rosh maintain that the reason for Einu the Makna Dov Shel Bori Olam is because there's a lack of Smichas Das, and therefore, when a Shavua is added to the Kinyan, it definitely strengthens the Kinyan, and the Kinyan would be Chal. The Rivash, on the other hand, maintains, no, this is the basic rule in Torah Sakinyoni. Choshev Mishpot cannot accept the Kinyan B'Dov Shel Bori Olam, and therefore Shavua in no way could affect Torah Sakinyonim and Dinim of Choshev Mishpot. And I think that the Rivash and the Rosh actually go to Shitosom, because there is an interesting sugi in Bava Basra Daf Kuf Mem Beis. Now Bava Basra Daf Kuf Mem Beis, we learn in the Gemara, Kishem She'enu the Makna Dov Shel Bori Olam, Kach Enu the Makna LeDov Shel Bori Olam. Just as a person cannot sell peiros dekel, a person has a tree, a fruit tree, and he sells the fruit that will grow in another 6 months. That fruit is non-existent today. A kinyan cannot be chal b'dov shel bori olam. That is just one of the examples in Gemara of a dov shel bori olam. What happens when a person sells existing fruit or a house or whatever it is to a person that wasn't born yet? And he sells any possession, whether it's karak or metaltenin, to a person that's not yet born, to a fetus that's in his mother's womb, would that kinyan be chal? So the Gemara deals with this question above a Masa Kuf Mem Beis. And the Gemara says, Hamazaka le'ubar lo'ikono. If a person is zoche to an ubar, to a fetus, the kinyan isn't chal, because he is not yet considered a human being, and therefore it is a question of v'chiyoga makna ledovo shaloi boli yonam, not a dovo shaloi boli yonam, not the object that's being sold is not yet existent, but the purchaser, the person that's supposed to be koine, is not alive yet. And the Gemara says, amasakal uber loy kono. However, when a person gives a gift to his son, his unborn son, the Kenyan is chal. Why? Dato shel odom kroivo etzel benoi. What does that mean? If the halacha eino the makna ledov shel bori olam has the same basis and the same reasoning as eino the makna dovo shel bori olam, and in both cases there is a lack in the basic rules of kinyanim, and the kinyan cannot be chal, then how would we understand the svara Dato Yishol Odom Kroivo Etzel Benoi? The Rosh explains on the spot that Eino the Makna Ladov Yishol Bori Olam is only because there's a lack of Gemara Das, and therefore Dato Yishol Odom Kroivo Etzel Benoi would enable a person to give a matona or sell to his unborn son, because Dato Yishol Odom Kroivo Etzel Benoi, and therefore we do not doubt the purity of his intention to go through with this matona. And And that is the Rosh and Bava Basa Kuf Mem Beis. So I think the Rosh goes Lishitosa when his son, the Tur, quotes in his name, the Perash Rosh HaLatoyre, the Parshas, told us in this week's Parsha that if a Shavuah is added onto the Kinyan, Odom Matna Dovo Shaloi Boli Yoyam. Those Achroinim and Rishoinim that maintain Ein Odom Matna Dovo Shaloi Yoyam is because, not because of the lack of smichas das, but it's actually a basic rule in Torah Sekhen Yonim. How would they explain the Gemara Bava Basa Kuf Mem Beis? Dati Shalodom Kroi Vuein Sel Benoi. Behechleyach, that they would differentiate between the two distinct and different halachas. Ein Odom Matna Dovo Shaloi Boli Yoyam is a rule in Torah Sekhen Yonim. Ein Odom Matna Ledovo Shaloi Boli Yoyam is only because of a lack of smichas das. Because in any case of Oda Makna Ledova Shalobori Yoilam, somebody is Zoicha for that Ubar. Otherwise, how would the Kinyan actually be performed? In the performance of every Maisa Kinyan, we need two parties. So obviously, a fetus can in no way, a Ubar can in no way actively participate in a Maisa Kinyan. And therefore, Chazal deal with the question of Amezaka Le'Ubar. We have the Moicha, or the Noisin. Somebody represents the Ubar, Mitzad Zochen Le'Odom Shaloi Beforo. And what we're actually selling and purchasing is something that already exists. And therefore, in that case, we're only dealing with a problem of Smichos Nas, and not with some basic deficiency with Toiras Akinyon. That would be the opinion of the many Achronim that maintain that the basic halacha of Ein Odom Matna Dovo Shaloi Boli Yoyam is not because of a lack of smichas das, but some basic deficiency in the Maisa Kinyan. And they would argue that Le Dovo Shaloi Boli Yoyam is different than Dovo Shaloi Boli Yoyam. And when we're dealing with the problem of Le Dovo Shaloi Boli Yoyam, it would only be a problem of smichas das. But I think the Rosh would coincide with the opinion of the Mabit. And in Chusa Mabit, the Mabit was the father of the Marit 500 years ago. The Mabit, Chusa Mabit, Simakuf Lamed Zayin is Mechadish. Just like the Gemara says in Bava Basa Kuf Mem Beis. Achol Pishein Odo Makna Ledovo Shalobo Leyoilam. However, when a person wants to give a gift to his own child, and therefore he could be makna ledovo shaloi boli yoyam. The same rule would apply when a person wants to give to his son a gift, and the gift is a dovo shaloi boli yoyam. The same rule we find in Bava Basa Kuf Lamed Beis, dati shalodom kroive etzel banoi olafiho. He could be makna ledovo shaloi boli yoyam to his unborn son or child. The same rule will apply when a person wants to be makna a dovo shaloi boli yoyam libnoi. So according to the Mabit, both are the same. Ein odom makna le dovo shaloi boli yoyam and ein odom makna dovo shaloi boli yoyam are both only because of a lack of smichas das, and therefore between father and son there is no lack of smichas das, and in both cases the king would be chal. And that's the opinion of the Rosh. And the Rosh Hashitosai maintains that with a Shavua, a person could be Makna in Dovah Shaloi Boli Yoyam. The Rivash, on the other hand, he wants to differentiate and be Machalik between Lifnei Matan Torah and Liacha Matan Torah. If the basic Svara, the basic reasoning, Ein Oda Makna Dovah Shaloi Boli Yoyam, is because there's a lack of Smichus Das and Gemara Das, I don't think basic psychology changed from Lifnei Matan Torah to Liacha Matan Torah. People were the same. The Torah was different. The Yiddishkeit was different. A new nation was born. But I don't think the psychology and the nature of people drastically changed. Why would one maintain that Liacha Matan Torah there is no Smichas Das by Dovah Shaloi Boli Yoyam, and Lifnei Matan Torah there was Smichas Das by Dovah Shaloi Boli Yoyam? So obviously, the argument of the Rivash is, Ein Odom Makna Dovo Shaloi Boli Yoyam has nothing to do with Smichus Das. It's a basic din in Torah Sekhen Yonim. So maybe this rule was only given Le Moshe B'Sinai before Matan Torah, a kinyan would be chal b'dav shel ba'olon. And according to that line of reasoning, the Rivash justly rejects the svara of the Rosh, and he argues, what kesher would a shvua have with the din of eino the matna dover shel ba'olon? Lishitoso maintaining that eino the matna dover shel ba'olon has nothing to do with the lack of smichus das, but rather it's a basic rule b'toras hakinyanim. A kinyan cannot be chal b'dover shel ba'olon. Therefore, according to his line of reasoning, the Rivash is right in claiming that Yeredeya cannot affect Choshev Mishnah. And in no way would a Shavua strengthen a Kenyan that cannot be Chal Mitzad Atzma. So that is the way I would understand the argument, the machloikis between the Rivash and the Rosh, whether a Shavua would be effective in causing a Kenyan to be Chal B'dovah Shaloi B'Liyodah. Which Rabbi Reich is suggesting, according to the Gemara we quoted at the beginning of this year, that Yaakov actually bought Esav's chelik in Moras HaMechpela, whether that would be relevant. But Moras HaMechpela was also a Dovah Shel Bolei Olam. Why? Yeah, but it belonged to Yitzchak. So as long as Yitzchak was alive, that would be considered a Dovah Shel Bolei Olam. Dovah Shel Bolei Olam is not only something that doesn't exist. If it's something that is in a different person's possession, it is also considered a Dovah Shel Bolei Olam. So as long as Yitzchak is alive, how could Esav possibly sell to Yaakov something that doesn't really belong to him? It belongs to their usual father. Well, obviously, according to the Gemara Sot to Yud Gimel, it has to do with Yerusha. And therefore, Esav argues, I'm a Bchor, and I have two lots in Moras HaMechpela. And Yaakov says, no, you sold your credit to me, and that's what, you don't have any place there. So obviously, they did deal with it. From this Gemara, it seems that Avraham was the one that actually purchased Moras HaMechpela, and it was his kinyan, it belonged to him. And when Avraham passed away, went over to Yitzchak. And only when Yitzchak passed away did it actually go to Yaakov and Esav. So this is an interesting halacha which the Rosh actually proves from the story of Yaakov and Esav. And I just want to point out, you know, on the way here, I was just trying to recall how many halachas do we learn from Yaakov Avinu. And I had a startling realization. Four halachas that I remember, all in the sugya of Dovah Shel Bolei Olam that the Poskim learned from Yaakov Avinu. And a fifth halacha that the Rambam learns from Yaakov Avinu, but that no longer has to do with Dovah Shel Bolei Olam. And this is a very important ha'ora, or an important observation, because at other opportunities, I dealt at length with the concept that we find in Chazal, Kiyom Avraham Avinu Kol HaTorah Kula Ad Shelo Nitno. Chazal learned this from a posik in this week's parsha, Ekev Asher Shoma Avraham Bekoili. And that's a Gemara on the end of Kedushin, and once again in Yumid Av Chofches. And there's a big question. Many Achroinim and Rishonim take sides on this question. How do we interpret the concept of Kiyom Avraham Avinu Kol HaTorah Kula Ad Shelo Nitno? Does that actually mean that Avraham Avinu performed all the Taryag Mitzvahs Beprotein V'Dikdukein? Would we maintain that Avraham Avinu probably had Rashi's Tefillin and Rabbeinu Tam's Tefillin? Because every other Yungle Mantel has Rabbeinu Tam's Tefillin. So wouldn't we assume that Avraham Avinu is at least as much a medactic as every Ploini or Almoini today? And every Hasidic Shingaman has Rabbeinu Tam's Tefillin. What type of tzitzis did Avraham Avinu use? I mean, probably he had Niputz Lishma. I could only imagine that he was Machmar to all the Chumas the Mishnah Berurah brings. Did he eat Mishim Matzis or Hat Matzis? You know, we have very many questions regarding the way Avraham Avinu performed Taryag Mitzvah Shiva Torah. Many Rishonim and Achronim actually take this Mamre Chazal literally. כי הם אברום אבינו כל התורה כולה עד שלא ניתנו אפילו עירוב תבשילן. עירוב תבשילן is a specific. And if he was Makai made of Tavshilin, the same would refer to the entirety of Torah. Torah Shebachzav and Torah Shebalpeh. Many other Rishonim, Ma'an Achroinim, the Ramchal, the Nefesh HaChaim, maintain that this Mamash should not be taken literally. The Ramban writes, the Ramban is some of a compromise, the Ramban writes that before the Ovis came into Eretz Yisrael, they weren't engaged in mitzvahs ma'asiyos. They were oisik at Soides HaTorah and in Tamei HaMitzvahs. And we know from the Kimikubolim that every mitzvah has some hashpoah, it has some effect in oilemis, in oilemis elyoinim. So the Ovis, in a way, in their own personal way, were miyachad yehudim, metakim tikunim, they achieved everything a Jew could achieve la'ach ha'ma'an Torah by performing Tahiyad mitzvahs. That is a different interpretation. So, in many other occasions, I dealt with the Eben Ezer of the Ovis HaKdoshim, with the Choshev Mishpat of the Ovis HaKdoshim. But what is surprising is that the Rambam learns halachas from Yankoy Kumin. What do I mean? The Rambam in Perek Vod Alochalamet Aleph of Hilchas Erechin. Hilchas Erechin is in Sefer HaFloah. Sefer HaFloah is the Sefer in which the Rambam deals with all the halachas of Bitui Sposayim, Nedorim, Shavuos, Nezirus, Erechin v'Charonim, which include Hekdesh. And a Perek Vav, Halacha Lamed Aleph, the Rambam writes, Afal Pi She'eino Odo Makra Dovah Shelo Bo Li'olam. But if a person makes a neder, Nidrei Gevoah, Bedovah Shelo Bo Li'olam, he has to fulfill what he was neder, what he took upon himself. What is the source of this halacha? Yaakov Avinu promises a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kol asher titen li aser asreno locho. That's a pasuk in Parshas Vayetzer. And then a Kodesh Baruch Hu, when he is nizgalat Yaakov Avinu, he says, asher nodarto li sham neder. So the Rambam says this proves that a neder is chal and dovish al abol yoylem. And if a person makes a neder promising to be Magdish, to give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to give Tzedakah, the neder is binding, even though it's a Dovah Shel HaBol Yoylem. Because Yaakov promises to give what he doesn't yet possess. Kol Asher Titen Li Aser Esreni Lacha. And that was a valid neder. So the Rambam proves from Yaakov Avinu, Ein Odom Makna Dovah Shel HaBol Yoylem, Aval Odom Noider B'Dovah Shel HaBol Yoylem, and he is obliged to be Makayim that neder. So this is a halacha in Dina Momenes, in Dina Nedorim, in Dina Hekdeshes that we actually learn from Yankoiv Ovin. And then there is another Rambam in Perek Chov, Ba'ez and Hilchas Mechira, halacha Tezvov, and the Rambam says that Hekdesh is chal b'dovah shel HaBol Yoylem. Ain odo makne dovah shel HaBol Yoylem, but a person could be makdish dovah shel HaBol Yoylem. And the Rambam doesn't bring the source. And the Tshuvas Chasam Soifo in Yoredeya, in Simen Shin Yud says, the source to this halacha would once again be Yaakov Avinu. Because in that same neder, Yaakov says, Kol asher titen li, asar asrenu lecha, v'ho even azois. And he is makdish this even to be a mizbeach. And this proves that a person could be makdish adovo shalai boli yoylam. And the Chasam Soifo says that is the source of the Rambam. Ktsois achoishin asimin shin lamed beis, sif kotn vov, deals with the question of shiahud bedovo shalai boli yoylam. The Rambo brings, in simereish test, ain't odo makdish dovo shalai boli yoylam, aval adam yichol lishabed dovo shalai boli yoylam. Probably everybody knows what shiabud is. I don't know how to say shiabud in English. What is it? Lean. Putting a lean on a dovah shel HaBol Yoylem. Okay. The Rambam says in Siman Reish Tes, a person cannot sell or give a gift to dovah shel HaBol Yoylem. Avol yechol shabed dovah shel HaBol Yoylem. And the Ktzai Sechoshin deals with the question, how about schirus? By schirus poyali. Could a person be mishabed and promise to pay a worker with a dovah shel abol yoylam? And the Ksos HaKoshim brings a raya from whom? Yaakov Avinu. When Yaakov Avinu works out this agreement with Laban, that he's going to take for himself Hatzoin, Hanikudim, Vahabrudim, they were non-existent, they weren't born yet, but that is what Yaakov demands, and at the end of the day, Laban pays Yaakov for his toil with those sheep. It is from here that the Ksos proves that a person could be mishabed to pay a worker, to pay a poyel with a dovah shel abol yoylam, and that obligation would be binding. So this is the third halacha we actually learn from Yaakov Avinu, and the fourth is actually the first. The halacha that the Rosh and the Tur prove from Yaakov Avinu, that al yedei shavua odom magna dovah shel abol yoylam. And the shavua affects the kinyan. And even though the halacha is ein odom makna dovah shel abol yoylam, when a shavua is added on, that will give validity to the kinyan, and this is an additional halacha in the tchum, in the area of dovah shel abol yoylam, that we actually learn from Yaakov Avinu. So we have four different halachas in the broad sugya of dovah shel abol yoylam that we actually learn from Yaakov Avinu. And the fifth halacha, which is an ethical principle, is the Rambam in the last halacha of Hilchas Tzchiras, which we actually found 5 minutes before I walked into the shiur with the help of my dear friend Rabbi Reich. Actually, with the help of some kind of a computer system, I don't know which. I just remembered that the Rambam in Hilchas Tzchiras proves this halacha from Yaakov. And the interesting term I remembered from this Rambam was, it is only once that the Rambam calls Yaakov Avinu Yaakov HaTzadik. Yaakov Ishtam Yosef HaHolim. Yosef HaTzadik is a very known, you know, definition. Yaakov HaTzadik struck me as something unique, as something very special, and that's why I remembered this halacha. So at the end of Hilchas Tzchiras, the Rambam writes, V'chein chayev lavoid bekol koichoy, a worker. This is very important to learn today when the work ethic is so not as it should be al pi Torah. So the Rambam writes, V'chein chayev odom lavoid bekol koichoy, sh'arei Yaakov v'tzadik omar, כי בכל כוחי עובדתי אסביכם, לפיך נות על שכר זויס אף בעולם הזה שנאמר, ויפרץ הוא איש מאויד מאויד. So the Rambam writes, the reason that Yaakov got שכר בעולם הזה was because of his ethical approach to working for another person. Even though Laban wasn't just a fair employer, as we all know from the Torah. Nevertheless, Yaakov is an employee that is most, in the most fair way. He bekol koichi avadati esavichen, and the Rambam proves from here, chayev odom lavoid bekol koichi, and therefore the Rambam says, Yaakov got his sacha biyorem hazeh sheyema veyifroitzu ish ma'oid boy. So these are five halachas that we actually learn from Yaakov Avinu. Four regard the sugya of Eino the Makan Dov Shilu Baliyolam. Shvua and Kinyan is number one. Neda Badova Shilu Baliyolam, number two. Hegdish Badova Shilu Baliyolam is number three. Number four is Tashlum Schirus. Shiabud, to pay a worker from a Dov Shilu Baliyolam, is number four. And then the ethical principle that a worker should work with all his talent and all his energy and dedicate himself to work in the best fashion possible, and that is an additional halacha that the Rambam learns from Yaakov Avinu.
So the Ksod holds that halachos were written in the Torah?
Well, if we learn details from the Avos because obviously that would prove that the Oves were Makayim, the Torah, Bepoteo, Bedikdukeo. One could still argue, maybe Choshevishvet would be different than Orachayim or Yoredei. And that would be a valid argument. Because Choshevishvet is based on what's right and what's wrong. And you know, Choshevishvet is logic, it's all logic. One could still argue that doesn't necessarily mean that Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov had tefillin and tzitzis and ate matzah and moror and they actually performed Talyag mitzvah Shevet Torah. But I thought it would be very interesting to see how many halachas just in one sugya do we actually learn from Yaakov Avinu. Regarding the broader argumentation, the two shittas, how we understand the concept of Kim Avraham Avinu Kol HaTorah Kula Ad Shelo, this is not something we have time to discuss today, but I do think that in Minchas Hosha and Bereishis and Simen Mem Aleph, no, it's not Mem Aleph, maybe it's Mem, it's not Mem, so maybe it's Mem Beis, should be, actually it once was, I don't know what happened, yes, Mem Beis. Simen Mem Beis and Minchas Hosha and Bereishis, I actually brought many rayas and shittas, lakan or lachan, regarding the interpretation, the way we understand what Chazal say.
The question that we're going to do about learning things
pre-Matan
Torah from Pesukim, that's only mitzvahs or also any halachas that are coming pre-Matan Torah?
There are...
The Rosh Hashanah discussion about the shiva they bring from...
Right.
And then others would say you cannot remember it,
that's
not a source.
Right. There are various halachas that we do learn from the Oves. Zrizin Magdim al HaMitzvahs is something we learn from Avraham Avinu. Hidu Mitzvah is also pre-Matan Torah. Zakeli Vanvei, Shir Ziyam was said before Matan Torah. Sheva Brochas is... The Gemara in Ksuvist of Zion says we learned from Boaz, but some sources, Toises in Ksuvist of Zion says V'yavohu as Rivko, it's either Birchus Edison or Birchus Nzuin. Shivo, Shivus Yemei Avelis, we learn from Pre-Matan Torah. There are various halachas that we find in Chazal from Pre-Matan Torah, and the Yerushalmi says that Ein Lameiden Mekoidem Matan Torah, so obviously that is a question with which...
Is there a clear distinction? No.
I do have a feeling that, you know, if we deal with every source I mentioned in itself, things get more clarity. There is only two halachas that the Rambam directly learns from Yaakov Avinu. One is Neder B'Dovah Shel Bo Le'olam, and the other is Lavad B'Kol Koichoi. Lavad B'Kol Koichoi is an ethical principle, so it shouldn't be surprising that we learn from Yaakov Avinu. After all, we all remember what Chazal say in Tom de Belio, Chayav Odom Loima Mosi Agil Masa Le Masa Avoisai. So I think it's a Musa de Pshita that ethics and Musar, we definitely learn from the Oves HaKadosh. The question is whether we can learn halachas. So the Rambam at the end of Sfiras is an ethical principle, Chayav Odom Lavoit Bekol Koichoi. Nedorim, if we, you know, check this more closely, we actually don't learn from Yaakov Avinu, but rather from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because Yaakov said, Kol HaShetitnu Li Aser Esrein Elocho, but the Rambam emphasizes that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yaakov, Asher Nodarto Li Sham Neder. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu certifies, you know, he actually says, this is a neder. I consider your promise as a neder. So it is not from Yaakov Avinu that we learn this halacha, but rather from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yaakov Asher Nudar Toli Sham Neder, and the Rambam stresses that point. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amar Asher Nudar Toli Sham Neder. The other two sources are the Chasam Sofer and the Ktzai, so they don't bear the same weight and importance as the two sources that he actually quoted from the Rambam. Should I just want to finish this shiur with a short idea which maybe you heard from me before, maybe some of you heard from me before, because it's just a beautiful idea when we are dealing with the Masa Avos. The Chido in Sefer Midbar Kedemos, the Chido wrote many sforim, and one of the beautiful sforim of the Chido is the Midbar Kedemos. And the Midbar Kedemos is very, very short Oisius, and in Ois Aleph, the first paragraph in the Sefer, Midbar Kedemos, the Chiddush writes, Sha'ovois lomdu Torah tesvov shoyz biyoyim, 15 hours a day. And I will never forget once, many, many years ago, I once came into the Kloisim of Rebbe, Moiv Rebbe, when he was very old and ill and he wasn't feeling well. And he was lying on the couch and he had the Midbar Kedemos in his hand. And he was just, you know, looking in the Midbar Kedemos. And suddenly he sees that paragraph. And he was very aggravated by that. He said Yiddish. I don't know whether many of you speak Yiddish, but maybe someone does. So he said in Yiddish, 15 Shua tog this is gornish, he said. That's nothing. 15 hours a day, a yeshiva bocher has to learn 15 hours a day. How is it possible that the others didn't learn more than 15 hours a day? It's impossible. It was very angry. How could the chiddo say 15 hours a day? That's all. The others sagdoshim. So he said, he says, apushet the cheshvin. It's a very simple cheshvin, he said. Chazal teach us in brochas. Chasidim al Shoyim, Hoy Shoyim Shuachas Lifnei Tfilosan, Shuachas La'achat Tfilosan, V'Shuachas Misparalim. If Avraham Avinu was Makayim the entire Torah, even Erev Tavshilim, then obviously he davened three times a day. And every Tfilah takes an hour before, an hour after. So 3 times 3 is 9, 15 plus 9 is 24. So he said it's a Poshet Chesh. Well, actually, they couldn't learn more than 15 hours a day because the other 9 hours had to be dedicated to tefillah. So, wasn't any time left. So I thought to myself, and what about Gemilas Chassadim? Well, actually, Torah avoided Gemilas Chassadim. It would be fair to assume that the Ov is dedicated some time for Gemilas Chassadim. But the Ria Kodesh, no, they could learn when they're eating, but you know. The Ria Kodesh says that a person has to give tzedakah before davening. So probably the Shoachas Lifnei Tfiloson included their Gemilas Chosadim, you know, 3 times a day before davening. A person has to be engaged in chesed. It's part of the Hachona to davening. So I told the Kloisim Bogarevi on the spot, I had Siyata Dishmaya. There's a sefer by the name Kidmas Huayin. And that's Peores on the Midbar Kedemos. And he says that the Chiddush contradicts his own words. Because in the Ha'oras of the Chiddush and Sefer Chassidim, the Chiddush writes, Ha'ovis ha'doishem lomdu toiro afilu b'chalom laila. That's what the Chiddush says. So that Sefer, Kidmas Huayin, says that the Chiddush contradicts himself. Here he says, Tezvav Shoaz V'yorim, and here he says, afilu b'chalom laila. According to the Kloisim Magrebs Pshat, of course they learn B'chalom Laila, otherwise you don't have 15 hours a day. Because obviously, Shoachas Lifnei Tfiloson only starts when you wrap it around. Some yeshiva bochum think that the Shoachas Lifnei Tfiloson start when you're still sleeping in the morning. No. Shoachas Lifnei Tfiloson is only, you know, when you're in the Beis Medrash. So if they wouldn't learn B'chalom Laila, we would be missing those 15 hours. You can't get to the sum of 15 hours. That was the others, dedicating all their time, energies, thoughts, whatever they had. Everything devoted, entirely devoted to avoid the Sakodesh, to avoid the Hashem, to Torah, to avoid the Gemilas Chassadim. And the Zohar says in Parshas Vayishlach, that the three of us, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, are keneged Torah, avoidu gemilas chasodim. It's just the other way around. Because in the Mishnah, in the beginning of Avos, Chazal say, al shloishet dvorim u'olam oimid, first and foremost is Torah, then avoidu, then gemilas chasodim. By the Ovis, it was the other way around. The first was Avraham, titein chesed l'Avraham. Avraham was midas chesed. Yitzchak was avoidu, indicated by Akedas Yitzchak, the tremendous sacrifice of Yitzchak. Yaakov was Ishtam Yoshev Aholam. Chesed Givuot Teferes is Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. And the Gemara says in Brochas Davnun Ches Tiferes Zem Matan Torah. So the Zohar says, the Ovis are Torah avoiding Gemilas Chasodim. But it's just the other way around. So maybe at some other opportunity I will try to explain to you why it had to be the other way around. had to start with chesed, go on to avoda, and only then Torah. So I wish you all, Chayav Odom Loimar, Moshe Yagiyah Maser HaMaser HaVoisai. You should all dedicate your lives to Torah, to avoda, to the Gemara Sodim, and you should all have a tremendous tachlis in the yeshiva. And we should all be zoichem in the schus of the avos. Beglal avos, toshi avonim, v'sovi geula lebnei b'neihem, emheiro v'yom.